morning I'd like to discuss and go through the interesting sugya of bitachon, of hishtadlus. How do we reconcile the balance between bitachon and hishtadlus? You see, on one hand, we're meant to be ma'amin, ha'kol b'dei shamayim. Saying Chazal, Hakol b'dei shamayim chutz miyiras shamayim. It's Hakol b'dei shamayim. So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah explains your parnasa was ordained and decreed on Rosh Hashanah how much you're going to earn. So if that's the case, and let's take parnasa for a moment. If your parnasa is decreed on Rosh Hashanah, so why, when you're about to embark on today's work, you're going to be doing it with clarity, with thought. You're going to see different opportunities, and you're going to have to want to jump on those opportunities and explore those opportunities, and you're going to be speaking to experts in different fields of advertising. If you think of it, does it make a difference what experts you use in advertising? If it's Nigzar on Rosh Hashanah, the Chayra irrespective. In my line of work, I get a lot of people every week coming to see me about their fear within the realms of Shidduchim. Every week there's another Talmud coming to say, oh, they're extremely worried and concerned that they can't find their Shidduch. And this is another great example. We believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mezavik Zivugim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mezavik Zivugim. So if that's the case, what is the level of Ishtadlis we're meant to go to in that area? Is there a limit of Shadchonim we're meant to go to? Is there a limit of how proactive we should be? Or should our real focus be in Tfilah? Should our real focus be in Dvarim Ruchni? In health. Health, another great example, a great litmus test where you can see this friction between Bitachon and Hishtadlus. We're Mispalel daily. And yet, when someone is ill, the advice you'll get from Da'as Torah is always, you go to the best doctors, you have the conventional treatments, and maybe the alternative treatments, if doctors are into alternative treatments, but you go and get refuah. You don't just sit back and be so mechal aneis. We're not meant to sit back and rely on a miracle. So the shayla is, why not? Why not? Maybe it's better to be so mechalaneis if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is controlling the show. So why don't we medala? Why don't we reveal that and sit back and focus more on learning and do less hishtadlus? So one of the places to find some answers to this sugya is obviously in Reb Dessler. It's in Chelek Aleph, Mr. Meliel, in his Perek B'tochen Hishtadlus. Highly recommend to go through it. So in it, this is the way he begins. Firstly, why is it that we have to do Hishtadlus? Where does Hishtadlus originate from? Is it an ideal? What is Hishtadlus? What is this concept of having to put effort in? So as best to explain, amongst others, that it comes as a consequence of the chesed of Adam HaRishon. From now on, by the sweat of your brow, you shall eat bread. Up until that point, there was no need for b'zeh asapecha teicha lechem. They didn't have to go to work. So, what did they have to do? What was the avodah in Gan Eden? Taking the Torah, la'avdo l'shamra. The role was la'avdo l'shamra. If you look at Chazal, it wasn't to go gardening, it wasn't to do physical avodah, it was a spiritual avodah, it was a ruchni avodah. So what was the nisayon in Gan Eden? Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Neit hadas tevara, they say, don't eat from the Eit hadas tevara. And they ate from that Eit hadas tevara. And immediately afterwards, from now on, by the sweat of your brow, you shall eat bread. And something which has always bothered me, surely I would hope it bothers you, how could they do that avera? You see, it's very interesting. Normally in a room there's always food, but if there was food in this room and you had a whole buffet and there was grapes, and I said, you know what, those grapes don't touch. You've got every single other thing you can eat, but the grapes don't touch. They're poisonous. Who in their right mind is going to go and immediately go for the grapes? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has told Adam and Chava that Eitabas Tevor Aloiseichom Yemene, don't eat from the Eitabas Tevor Rafta. Immediately afterwards, they go and eat from it. How is that Shaykh? And the Kasha is much stronger. Because if you look in Chazal, you'll see, what was the makeup of Adam and Chava? The makeup of Adam and Chava was extremely different to our makeup. Their Yetzirah was Bachutz. They had an external Yetzirah. Their guf and neshama wasn't in contradiction. It wasn't in war. It was almost opaque, where the guf revealed the neshama. They were going in one direction. They didn't have this internal battle, Melchemes HaYetzer, like we do. The Yetzirah was Bachutz. The Yetzirah was embodied in the Nachash. Internally, they were close to the Madrega of Malachim. So now the Kasher is much, much stronger. If Adam and Chava were on the level where they did not even have that inner struggle that we have, so now how is it even more Shaykh that they could have sinned? They had one Nisayan and they failed straight afterwards. How can that be? So there are obviously a few famous approaches. The Nefesh HaChaim is the one I'd like to focus on. The Nefesh HaChaim writes like this. The Nisayon was the following. It made sense of Ruchnis for them to do what they did. They were motivated by their Ruchni to go and eat from the Itadas Tevara. Why? I've got a few daughters, and one of my daughters is a girl called Racheli, and she's very into hide and seek at the moment, but she's quite a lazy girl sometimes, and she likes merely to play hide and seek when she's still sitting on the couch. And she's sitting on the couch and says, "Daddy, go look for me now, I'm hiding." And then I've got to go down the charade and the facade of going behind the curtains looking for her, going in the kitchen, going in the garden for 10 minutes looking for her, and I'm out there looking for her, and that's her game. And the Chaira, Rahavdil, Adam and Chava felt a similar game was going on. Their job was to reveal Kuvay Shammai. Their job was to reveal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it was revealed. It was overt. There was no stira between Ruchni and Gashmi. It was overt. They didn't understand where the Kiddush Hashem was going to come from. Where was the Kiddush Hashem? It was revealed. So they understood that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wanted, what he really wanted, was for them to be Megale through initially being hiding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, creating a world of Nistar, hiding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, creating an Olam Hazeh, and then spending 6,000 years of revealing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, according to Chazal, we wouldn't have been in this matzav as we are now if it wasn't for the chet of Adam HaRishon. If we would have got to Shabbat without eating from the Eitz HaDaas Tevara, we wouldn't be in this matzav. The consequence of the chet of Adam HaRishon is spiraling into 6,000 years of Olam HaZeh. The amazing concept is Chazal explained that Adam and Chava knew about that. They knew exactly what was coming, but that was what they were boicha. They chose that path. They thought that was the correct path. They thought that's the emes what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. How can you say that? Efsha, sometimes you've been in a matzav where our loved ones, our parents have come to us, and our parents, we know they're in need financially, but they'll come and say, "My son, can lend me £100 But you know what they really want is £1,000. They need £1,000, but they love you and they don't want to trouble you, so you say no, don't. I'll give you £1,000. The Chayre, it was the same concept. Adam and Chava felt that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wanted was for them to eat from the Eitz HaDaas Tevara and to internalize the Yetzer HaRa, to create the Yetzer HaRa Shebifnim, and to have that milchama ben yitzhar ben yitzhar, and then to be boicher zayt, and then to be megaleh kavod shemayim, and then to create kiddush Hashem. That's what they were under the impression that Hakadosh Baruch Hu truly wanted. Obviously, they were wrong. They were wrong, and that was the emes de nisayin. In other words, the nisayin, in a way, was the same nisayin as we have. Can we subjugate our rotzon to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, or does our intellect get in the way? And unfortunately, their plan, which was to their credit, the mistake was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said don't. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said lo yisoichal, don't eat. And we spiraled into this world where now we have to do Ishtadlus. Now we have to do Ishtadlus. What is Ishtadlus? Ishtadlus is to go and continue the facade that we ourselves began. Then now we have to go into integrating the world, and through that, to reveal Kavod Shemayim. The word Olam comes from the root in Hebrew Ne'alam, to hide. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created this world, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides, and our job is to, through that world, reveal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Through our Ma'asim Tovim, to reveal the Be'emet HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show. But we have to, unfortunately, do Hishtadlus. We have to do Ishtadlus. We can't sit back. Before the Chet of Adam Arishan, we wouldn't have had to do Ishtadlus. Now we have to do. So in light of that, how much Ishtadlus? So Rabbi Shaul Sanan's Rebbe of Zundar of Sanan said, very cautious, how much Parnasa I need to do? I've got to do the amount of Parnasa to hide the name. I've got to go and integrate myself into the world vis-a-vis Parnasa, so that people could attribute credit to Teva. People could say, oh, that was very natural. As long as people can say that, that's as much as I've got to do. So Rav Zundel said, for my sake, I'm going to go and buy a lottery ticket. I'm going to buy a lottery ticket so people could say I'm very fortunate. Fantastic. It takes me about 1 minute and I can spend the rest of my week purely learning and focusing only on Torah. So is that what we should be trying to reach? And Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, when he gave that share, apparently there was a Talmud that thought, fantastic. Oh, I've been waiting for a way to get back to Kollel full time. So he went back to his Rebbetzin and said, we're going to give up our Panosa. We're going to go, we're going to buy a lottery ticket. I'm going to have absolute bitochayim that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. We're doing enough Ishtadlus to hide the nace, and that's what we're going to do. And that Talmud went that month and bought a ticket, and unfortunately for his sake he didn't win. He was very upset, went to his Rebbe Rabbi Yisrael and said, oh no, I had bitochen, don't understand. So Rabbi Yisrael said, go back next month and it would all be understood. So the Talmud went back the following month and bought another ticket. And Rabbi Shaul Salant had planted in their shop another of his Talmudim. So when the Talmud went and bought the ticket, this Chobe went and tapped him on the shoulder and said, oh, how much are you going to be winning? It's 150 rubles. 150 rubles is the jackpot. He said, you know what? You don't have to wait to find out if you're going to win. I'll give you 100 rubles now. Give you 100 rubles now. Will you take it? So the guy said, sounds like a good deal to me. Not a problem, I'll take the 100 rubles. Oh, go and see your Rebbe. He went and saw Rabbi Yisrael, and Rabbi Yisrael explained. You could never win it. You could never use this mode of bitachon and play the lottery. Why? Because, and this is, by the way, if you want to know in here how to win the lottery this week, then the mechanism could work. This is the way it would have to work, folks. You have to go into the shop. And I don't know what the rollover is this week. There's always a rollover, right? If there's a rollover this week, and let's say it's £9 million. So if someone can tap you on the shoulder and say, I'll give you £7 million for that ticket. If you could turn them down, in other words, if you could have 100% it's offer, that what you're doing is doing your Ishtadlus, and the Emet HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running it. So you're doing your minimum Ishtadlus, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide. You're casting your lot off to Hashem, and He's going to provide for you. If you had 100% emunah on that, Which idiot is going to swap £9 million for £7 million? Of course you don't. Therefore, you would always deny it. So if you can work on yourself to the level where you would be able to deny that person, then shkoyach, and like you heard it here first, and 10% commission. Now, so this is the problem. When we bring it and integrate it into our lives, what is the correct amount of ishtadlus we're meant to do? What is the relationship between ishtadlus and mitachon? Is it relative? So if we look in the Torah, we can see a fantastic example which can help us on this. We see with Yosef HaTzadik in Vayeshev that he gets punished. See what happened. In Mikach, they by Mikach Nosayim Yomim. It was at the end of 2 years. It's an amazing process. At the end of 2 years, the end of 2 years of what? Doesn't say the end of 2 years of what? So you have to look at Chazal. So you look at Rashi. Rashi, the end of Vayeshev, explains that. Torah says that Yosef forgot. The Torah says that Vesa, the Loizokhasa Mashkim is Yosef Vayeshachayu. That the butler forgot Yosef. So says Rashi. Because Yosef relies on him. And Yosef asked the butler to mention him to Paroi. He had to go into prison for 2 years. And here comes the punchline. Says Rashi, Shinema says in Tehillim, Ashrei hagever asher tom Hashem mitochoi. Praises the man who puts his trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here's the kasha, folks. If Yosef HaTzadik is getting punished for a lack of bitachon, for putting his bitachon in the butler, then why on earth are we using a pasuk to epitomize Yosef HaTzadik of Ashrei HaGever Asher Tom Hashem Mitzachai? Praise is the man who puts his trust in Hashem. If Yosef puts his trust in Hashem, why does he have to get punished for 2 years? I thought this was the error in Yosef's life. He's unfortunately not putting his trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that moment. Oh! He has to go for 2 years in prison. So we're praising Yosef HaTzadik within the realms of Bitochai. How is that shy? So the answer is superb. As Rebecca explained, that it's because Yosef HaTzadik is Ashrei HaGever Asher Tom Hashem Yitzachoi. It's due to the fact that Yosef epitomizes Bitochot. Yosef is an incredibly high madrega, that for him, on his level, to say what he did to the butler was wrong. For other people, it wouldn't be wrong. That would be the correct status to move. If Cholila, someone was in prison, and they had helped someone, and that person was now going to be on the out, it would be folly. And it would be crazy not to go and try and use your contacts and ask that person to go and put a word in for you. Of course one should do that. So here we see the hishtadlus is relative to your level of bitachai. The higher you are on the rungs of bitachai, the less hishtadlus you need to do. So Yosef HaTzadik, who is on such an incredibly high level, he only needs to do a very small amount of hishtadlus. The shaila is, how much is Shtadlus? And what Rav Chaim Soloveitchik asked of Shimon Shkop was the following. If Yosef HaTzadik would have said to the butler, mention me to Paro just once, what would have been his punishment? You see, in Pasuk Yudalit, in Berak Mem, Yosef says to the butler, Kim Techaltoni Yitzchok Asher Yitzavloch, and then he says again, Vizkaltoni El Paro. He says the word, mention me to Paro twice. So ask Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, Rav Shimon Shkop, what happens if you would have only said it once? So Rav Shimon Shkop said straight away, 1 year. You'd have got 1 year prison. Rav Chaim said, no. Wouldn't have got anything, because that would have been the correct ishtadlus. Even Yosef HaTzadik still got to do ishtadlus. It's still, as a consequence of the cut of Adam Arishan, we've got to do ishtadlus. And that would have been the minimum ishtadlus. To say it twice was too much ishtadlus. So we're beginning to see, we're beginning to see that the level of Ishtadlus is relative to Bitachon, to our level. It's actually extremely complicated area. If we start looking at Reb Dessler, he explains there's four levels. Now isn't the time to go into it. You get to the level of Reb Chanina ben Doisa, whatever, as you know, the famous Maison, Reb Chanina ben Doisa, on Erev Shabbos, and his daughter didn't have oil to light the Shabbos candle, and he goes, ah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind the fact that oil lights. So if you want, for the one who says oil will light, vinegar will light, so just get some vinegar. And she went and got some vinegar and it lit the whole of Shabbos. And Reb Dessler explains the reason that was able to work is because they had a level of bitachon that it could work. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu corresponds and relates to your level, to your level of bitachon. When you look at Reb Dessler, by the way, you'll see there's one slight problem in that he gives a story of the four kings, and in the mitzvah of the four kings he quotes David HaMelech as the king who does the most Ishtadlus, and yet is on the highest level. See, David HaMelech does an incredible amount of Ishtadlus when he's fighting his wars, but has absolute bitachon in Hashem, and that's lauded as the highest level. So it's just sorry, and something for you to look into how that fits to the normal way of thought, that the higher you are in bitachon, the less Ishtadlus you've got to do. That's something sorry, and for you to look up. My colleague Rav Tatz explains that if you're ever, say on Purim, you go to a mitzvah on Purim, and you've got a friend, and your friend is wearing a mask, and you don't know who's behind the mask. So for as long as you don't know who's behind the mask, he'll continue to wear the mask, and relate to you and communicate to you through the mask. But as soon as you know who's behind it, and you say, come on, you know, David, he'll just take off his mask in it. And the concept is that the more we understand that it's merely a mask, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is wearing, and in our own individual lives, whether it be panasa, whether it be health, when we understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu is totally behind the show, at times HaKadosh Baruch Hu can start revealing that mask. And actually Purim is an incredible opportunity to understand this area. That's what Megillat Esther means. Megillat Esther also means to reveal the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hiding, to reveal the Neis Nistar. And that was the Maaser of Purim, that there wasn't not one Neis Goloi happening over Purim. It was Neis Nistar after Neis Nistar. It was so called coincidence after coincidence after coincidence. It was a limud in Hashkacha. It was a limud in Hashkacha. So practically, Lamaisa, what do we do? So I think the message is very, very poshut. Yes, we have to do Ishtadlus. But the mistake that so many of us make is we put our faith in our Ishtadlus. And that's the error. Yes, by all means, we have to engage in Ishtadlus. However, engage in Ishtadlus to put our faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our bitachon should be in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not in our own effort. Chalila. And that is what the Torah Kedosha was warning against in Akev. In Akev in Perekhes, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu warns us and says, Posuk Yud Zayin, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Vamalta b'vavecha," you're going to say in your heart, "Koichi ba'itzim yodi," the might of my hand, has made me all the wealth. That is the worry of when we're engaging in the Shabbos, that we'll attribute the credit to ourselves. Where Be'emes, and it's interesting, everyone always quotes the first pasuk, but always look at the second pasuk as well. What you should is remember, he's the one who's giving you constantly, Anoisin is in the present tense, he's giving you constantly the koyach behind that. And that is what we've got to understand, and lechairis filah. Tefillah is a fantastic opportunity to express our bitachon. The way we're mispalin expresses where we are on the rung of bitachon. If we put the same amount of effort in our tefillah as we do when we're going to our job interviews, as we do when we're planning our structures in business, then the chayra, we're going to be more matzliach in revealing Kvod Shamayim in that area. One last thing is sometimes when, in our own personal lives, we can see through ma'asim that have happened, obvious hashgacha, and when we are able to understand that hashgacha and notice that hashgacha, it helps us elevate in the area of bitachon. So one ma'asim that happened to someone that was studying in the yeshiva of the Meach, is something I just want to share with you to finish off with this. It was a guy called David. He was an American chap who was getting married. It was his wedding day, and as soon as he was grooming himself, he put on his shoes that morning, and he put on the shoes the way that Shulchan Aruch tells us you're meant to put on your shoes. You put on right shoe, then he put on his left shoe, he tied his left shoe, then he tied his right shoe. And he did that, he continued getting dressed, and he started panicking. And he called up the best man and said, I've got to speak to you right now. And he said to the best man, you're going to have to go and tell the bride that I can't go through with it. I can't get married to her today. I can't get married to her ever. You're going to have to please let her know. What happened? David was a young Jewish man, and the bride was a girl called Deborah, who was not a Jewish girl. She wasn't Jewish. And David wasn't at all religious, and actually had come into contact with a rav a few years back, who had told him this concept about the way you put in your shoes. That was an outreach tool to go and tell someone something easy, something you, everyone puts on their shoes. So put on your shoes, the spiritual way. That was something that David always did, and he did it that morning, and something was Moira in him, something awakened in him, and he couldn't go through with marrying out that day. He went off to Osamer to go and study in Yerushalayim to find out what this is all about. What was that feeling he had in him that he couldn't go through with it? He wanted to learn and started learning. And Baruch Hashem was very much there. 3 years later, after him being there, one of the Rabbonim of the Yeshiva came and said, oh, I think it's time. I think you're ready to get married. Got a fantastic shidduch for you. I would highly recommend that you go out tonight on this shiva. So David was ready to get married, he felt, and he went to the King David Hotel to meet the shiva. He sat at the table, and the girl came and sat, and he nearly collapsed. He could not believe his eyes. In front of him was Deborah. The way David explained it to me is he said, what are you doing here? And she said, actually, I don't find this funny at all. What on earth are you doing here? And he said, well, shidduch. And she goes, what is happening? She goes, well, actually, after you decided to ditch me on the altar, then I decided I better go and investigate what it was that you loved more than me, because I knew that we had an incredible relationship and you were able to choose something over me. I could not believe it. So I went off to Israel to find out and to study. And I found a seminary called Neve, and I started learning there, and I fell in love with it, and I realized that's what I want for me, and I've converted. And recently I've converted, and my teachers thought that I should also be going on a shidduch tonight. And when you hear mitzvahs like that, when you understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu mezavek zivugim, it helps us reach the level of bitachon, we should be zocher. The pasuk in Tehillim, "Vabuteach b'Hashem Chesed Yisay Bevenu," if we have trust in Hashem, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us.
Thank you very much.